Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey there, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing Heather Gray. She's a functional diagnostic nutritionist practitioner who specializes in Lyme disease. She came to this profession after a 27-year battle of being undiagnosed, also having celiac disease, also having Hashimoto's and endometriosis on top of all that, a whole mess of things. And Heather is quite an impressive story, and I really want her to share it with you. So this is what we're going to be talking about today on the Health Fix, everything Lyme disease and how we need to really stop thinking about how to kill it, and how to look at the foundations of what happened to the immune system for the Lyme disease to create such havoc within the body. So this one's a great podcast. Heather's gonna be doing a series with me each month for a 3, maybe even 4 sessions. So get ready for this. Let's jump into the podcast so you can meet Heather. Hey, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And on today's episode, we are live from my car in Wisconsin because I was running all around trying to find internet. But here we are. We've got it. We're good to go. And I've got Heather Gray on, and we are going to be talking all about Lyme. But in particular, one of my biggest pet peeves about Lyme is that so many people go after trying to kill it, but don't work on the foundations. And so this is why I have Heather here. So Heather, welcome to Health Fix Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So you laugh because you know what it's like. You've been down this journey. You have and of course, we're going to talk about your story here in a couple of seconds, but you know the struggles. And a lot of times the first thing people think about is like, okay, I now know I have Lyme. Maybe they've done the testing. Maybe the symptoms line up and they've seen a doc and they're like, okay, I'm just going to go on this killing rampage. But couple months down the road, it seems like folks are often worse and nobody's getting any better and just nothing's doing the trick. So I'm guessing that you've seen the same thing. And I think it would be a perfect time to kind of go into your story and tell us kind of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm seeing it a lot in a lot of the Lyme groups that I belong to on Facebook. And it's like everybody, their question, how did you treat? And it makes my head explode. And I go in there and try to say, hey, you might want to focus on something other than treatment. Otherwise, you're just going to end up relapsing, you know, but not a whole lot of folks can hear me just yet. I just came back from a Lyme conference in Connecticut, Lyme Bites. And it was geared towards practitioners, and every single practitioner, I'm not even kidding, every single one of them that got up and spoke, talked about these foundations, right? And so, I was bit when I was 13, started developing symptoms around 2 years later when I ended up in the psych ward for the first time for a suicide attempt. Wow. Kids, especially, you know, has a tendency to affect the brain and the gut a lot more so. And you know, had another suicide attempt when I was 17, massive gut issues, lots of pain, you know, into the doctor to see a swollen knee. Doctor can't figure out why the knee is swollen, you know, all the very typical story, you know, joint pain, a lot of, you know, I was diagnosed with, you know, manic depression, bipolar, you know, put on every single kind of prescription drug you could possibly imagine, you know, pat on the head and sent back out the door, you know. I was called attention sinking. I was called, you know, I remember when I finally got my diagnosis, I screamed at the top of my lungs on the way home, I told you I'm not crazy, you know, and that was going to be the title of my book, you know, I told you I'm not crazy, the realities of Lyme disease, because, you know, and it seemed like the louder I would scream that I wasn't crazy, they'd go, that's exactly what a crazy person would say, you know? So, I mean, I never, you know, got validated, you know.
Yeah.
27 years I went undiagnosed. How's the internet going? I know you're kind of freezing up a little bit. Is it doing okay?
Yep. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah.
Awesome. So it was, you know, and then I did the typical thing when I finally got diagnosed, you know, in my mid-30s. I went and saw a nurse practitioner, and I spoke for like maybe 5 minutes, and she kind of got a little twinkle in her eye. I can't remember where she's from, but she had this really cool accent, and she's like, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And I was like, bullshit. Nobody's been able to figure out what's wrong with me. And she goes, no, I think you have Lyme. And I was like, yeah, actually I was bit by a tick when I was 13. And, you know, and then from there on, I went and saw a naturopath, and I thought that, you know, it would be, I was wanting more of a holistic, you know, type of approach. But he really wasn't. It was, it was an integrative approach. It was a lot of antibiotics with herbs, right? You know, like $1,500 a month is what a lot of this stuff was costing. And I thought I was going to die. Like, I literally thought he was trying to kill me, because I mean, just even looking back at it now, I went decades of being undiagnosed, right? Toxic, sick. Also turns out I needed to have cavitation surgery because of when I took my wisdom teeth out when I was younger. So I had an infection in my jaw that was in my bloodstream. I had mercury in my mouth. I had 4 autoimmune diseases, you know, so what on earth made any doctor think that my body was well enough to go to war against this thing is just beyond me. And so after feeling like, you know, spending months feeling like I was going to die, I actually heard the founder of FDN speak, Reed Davis, and he was talking about how you got to make sure your detox pathways are open. How, you know, what's your diet like? What's your mindset like? You know, how are you sleeping? You know, like these foundations of health, you know, are your hormones balanced? And it just, I don't know, man, something just made sense. And I was like, that's what's going to help me through this. And, you know, I did that and kind of have never looked back, and I've been peeling back, you know, multiple layers since then. You know, I've done a lot of work this last year on trauma, right? And working unresolved trauma out of the nervous system, because I did have a lot of early childhood trauma, which is a direct correlation to autoimmune issues. And then also having these, you know, chronic, being more susceptible to chronic illnesses like Lyme, and, you know, issues in my genetics with mold, and, you know, just the whole gamut that a lot of us, you know, with Lyme that have had these chronic issues for a long time, you know, we're all no strangers to this, you know, path and these kind of words.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, your story is not uncommon for ones I hear. I had a dear friend, same thing, grew up in Massachusetts, had a tick bite right when she was a teenager. And then same kind of thing, went through all of the protocols where she was like calling me going like, I think I'm dying and I think I'm batshit. Like, I think I'm losing it. And yeah, no validation whatsoever. And I think there's something huge to be said about having that validation, especially like, you know, how you're like, I'm not crazy, I swear. And she, you know, same thing, went through that. And it's such a mental, like, oh, it's so painful mentally going through that process just alone.
That's the tough part too, when it comes to people wanting to jump straight into treatment, you know, after finally getting their diagnosis. So one of the things that I found that I have a really hard time with, and I did it myself, right? When I finally got that diagnosis, like, I wrapped it around me like a warm, fuzzy blanket. It was like, ah, validation. There is something wrong with me. I got permission to be sick for the first time in my fucking life, right? Like, how sick is that, that you have to have permission to be sick? You know, my mother was kind of one of the worst of, you know, and my ex-husband of just, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, get up, you know, just, I was never allowed to be sick. And so when I finally got that validation, I did kind of wear that. And I see a lot of people who do. And it's, you know, the first thing I kind of have to do is kind of peel them back a little bit from that warm cocoon that they're in, because you will not get well if you are tied to your fucking diagnosis. Like, end of story. You've got to let that story go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of like being able to play in victim land and hold on to it. And, you know, I think for a little bit, it's cool for healthy, you know, healthy purposes to be like, okay, I can live here for a minute. But then yes, with any chronic illness, it's a thing where it's like, okay, now we know what's up, but we gotta let that go. And now we're going to move. We're going to start moving forward. So what was your first kind of steps into working on the foundations? How did you do it? What did you start doing? And of course, I want to know about diet. And I know a lot of people want to know about diet. So give us a scoop. What were your like baby steps in? And then what happened from there?
So, you know, the FDN model is dress for success, and it's diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, and supplementation. And the beautiful part about the coaching part of this program is because, I mean, you can go to a naturopath, you can go to an integrative doctor. And a lot of times, even those folks don't have the time, the effort, the training to coach you how, right? You go to the doctor, they tell you, you need to be eating better and you need to lower your stress. And you're like, well, that's great, but how, right? So this is a program that actually coaches you around all these things, because sadly, you know, if you've been really sick for a long time, you've got to learn a 180, right? You've got to learn how to do something different. If your best intentions got you here, we've got to learn something completely different to get you going a different direction. And that takes a lot of, you know, kind of upheaval a little bit. And so people have got to really be ready for a lifestyle change, because that is the part that why we were talking about not just focusing on treatment, because those folks who do focus on treatment, a lot of them can get better, and they like 90% of the time will relapse. I actually did it myself. So I've been there, speaking from personal experience. If you relapse and you go to your old way of eating, not sleeping right at night, not staying hydrated, not pooping every day, right? You're gonna relapse. So with me, with the diet part, we did food sensitivity testing, which is kind of what we call in this industry low hanging fruit, right? Because if you've got a leaky gut and you've got food that's getting out of your gut into your bloodstream where it doesn't belong, your immune system is now calling all sirens, right? Causing inflammation, causing collateral damage to stuff around it. And so for like me, it was like coconuts and almonds and pork, you know, so things that kind of seemed healthy, right? I felt like I was eating a fairly healthy diet at the time, but my gut had been so jacked up for so long. I was undiagnosed celiac, so a lot of damage there. You know, I was on birth control, antibiotics, lots and lots of antibiotics, you know, growing up. And I had bronchitis, you know, many, many times as a teenager. You know, so I had a fairly leaky gut, right? And then I was kind of eating the same thing over and over and over again, you know, pretty consistently every day. So, you know, so now this coconut, right, that I was eating every day is getting into my bloodstream and it's causing inflammation. So no matter how healthy or what other type of modality of treatment I would put on top of that, I was putting it on top of an inflamed system. So nothing really could get through, right? So once I learned what my food sensitivities were, right, removed them, like, man, I think I lost like 35 pounds that first month, you know. Wow. was able to sleep at night. Yeah. I was out of a lot of pain. Like I watched my clients who deal with chronic migraines for like the last 10 years and no longer have migraines, you know, I mean, like big weird shifts. And so why we take them off the food sensitivities, I'm usually also putting them on a paleo type diet, because I've found in a lot of research will show that one of the leading contributing causes of autoimmune diseases are grains. You know, grains are really, really hard for us to break down and process, you know, so if you are eating grains, to do something more like a Weston A. Price diet where you're soaking and sprouting and actually preparing these foods for digestion, because the way that it is now, they're not. They're really big protein that kind of act like a battering ram up against your gut. And a lot of them are dripping in glyphosate and pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. And even with those, they're still moldy. So you've got the mold issue on top of all the chemicals, on top of a big protein. So they're just an inflammatory cocktail. They're horrible. So putting them on a paleo type diet, corn has a tendency to cross react like a lot of grains. So take them off of corn. Also with paleo comes no dairy. So again, if you're Weston A. Price and you get your dairy that's raw, right? That's a completely different animal than pasteurized, homogenized, you know, pus per, you know, there's so much pus that's allowed, parts per million, you know? So anytime I see somebody like drinking a glass of milk, I'm like, how's that pus? Like, it's just this.
It's a great way to think about it. Like, we walk through the aisles here and my husband's like super reactive to dairy, so I'm always like, how's those mucus producers over there? Look at this aisle of mucus producers. And it'll shut it down quick, where you're like, I don't want that. Blah.
that, and I also call it a plate full of sadness, because if you've actually ever watched how the confinement dairies operate and how they treat those animals, the babies that are, what they do with those babies that are born, like, it is a disgusting, deplorable, and I eat meat. I love meat. I've actually processed my own chickens, you know, so I know the whole cycle of life, right? I'm also blessing them. I know how they're being treated and I know how they're being fed. And I don't think there's any excuse for abuse and misuse for these animals that are ultimately giving up their life for our, you know, benefit. So the dairy industry really quite makes me sick. So if you're going to, like I said, have dairy, make sure you know your farmer, right? And you're getting raw dairy, because that's the only really type of dairy that we can actually break down, because once we pasteurize it and we heat it up so high, it breaks down and kills the enzymes that's in it naturally that's supposed to help us digest it. You know, so many people are lactose intolerant, and that's part of the reason, is because we killed what, you know, we need to process it. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Stay away
from inflammatory foods. Yeah.
Oh, there's so much to think about in that world. And I think for a lot of people, it can get overwhelming. But at the same time, when you commit to it, you start to see how good you feel. This is where, you know, I'm constantly talking to people about it. Like, hey, you know, the more that you can baby step into this, the more they can start living a world without these certain things, the more incredible you start to feel every single day.
Absolutely. I've always been like a Band-Aid rip-off type of person. And so it's funny to me that I'm working with folks that are kind of, that need those baby steps. And I'm like, no, man, just do it. Just make a plan, set a date. Let's do it. And they're like, no. So baby steps. Absolutely. You know, so now I tell them, you know, week one, take out this, you know, week two, take out this, you know, week three, you know, so that way you can kind of get that learning curve down. You know, and I'm not going to lie, you know, sometimes it's still a huge pain in the ass, especially I'm blessed that I work from home. Right. So my kitchen, I don't have to, you know, haul a bunch of crap with me. Like if I was out in the world, summertime can get a little harder because you're over at, you know, people's picnics and you're out for the day in the mountains and you have to plan ahead, because this life, this society, civilization is not set up for healthy life. Like when I went to that Connecticut conference, I was shocked at how hard it was for me to try to find healthy food on the road. Like I was still kind of beside myself. I'm like, really? Not one organic, you know, nothing. I was just beside myself. So I actually just made a little video calling, you know, talking about when you fail to plan, you know, you're planning to fail. And so it does take some planning, right? If we put even a quarter of the time that into ourselves, right, and into food prep that we do, like our job or our family or anything else, like it's amazing how much more productive, happy, healthy this world would be. Like it's completely gone backwards and people are like, well, I don't have time for that. And I'm like, no, bullshit. That's really all you should. That where else, if it doesn't go on you, where you should be your first investment. You should be your first time commitment. You should be your first. Because without your health, right, without your brain, I know I wasn't a very good employee. I damn know I wasn't a good wife and I wasn't a good mother. You know, I was reactive. I was exhausted. I was in pain, you know. And then now that I've taken these steps back, my family doesn't feel like a loss. My job doesn't feel a loss. If anything else, taking care of me first has increased my productivity in everything else that I do, you know, so.
I'm glad you shared that, because, you know, for me, I feel somewhat like an imposter saying things because I don't have children. And a lot of people will be like, well, you don't understand. You don't have kids. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I have one dog with a lot of special needs and I have, you know, my other dog who's lovely and I have my dad who I take care of and my husband, you know, so I'm like, I do have other things, you know, but I think the routine and putting it yourself as the priority is absolutely crucial. And I think that's where a lot of people, it's all about your values and priorities. And what I'm sure you say to your folks just as much as I do is, if you want to get better, you have to do these things, because your food becomes your medicine. And it's a heck of a lot cheaper than all those supplements, than all those, you know, herbs and things of that nature.
I've still not been able to get away from the supplements. Like I even had this talk with my integrative doctor friend the other day, and I was like, have you figured out a way? And she's like, I really haven't, because even if you are eating organic, you know, there's research that shows that there's so much a mineral depletion in our soil, right? That, you know, one cup of spinach to get the right amount of iron 50 years ago, we now have to eat like 10 bowls. Right. So there's a definitely difference in our food these days. And then the amount of toxins and EMFs and and the stressors, right? So, you know, even with my really stupid expensive grocery bills, I am still spending around $200-$300 a month on supplements just to keep, you know, everything functioning, but I'm functioning, right? I don't know too many people who have a story like I do that have been sick as long as I have, you know, in and out of the psych ward, you know, in and out of being bedridden for weeks, excruciating pain, you know, that function as well as I do now. So I happily shell out that money every month to pay for those supplements. And I say, you know, I'm grateful when I take them because I know that's I know that's why my skin looks so great at 44. I know that's why I have so much energy and why I still have a sex drive and why I, you know, am happy and my gut's working and, you know, so yeah. And that took a bit of a mindset change as well. Cause for a while there I was paying for the money and I was taking everything and I was buying the groceries, but there was this still little like nagging piece at me, that old paradigm, right? Of can't you find a way to do this cheaper? Or, oh, I can't believe I have to spend this much money on this crap. And then I was still noticing some health stuff that wasn't quite, you know, that I wasn't being able to get rid of. And I realized a lot of it had to do with mindset. I think that's a whole nother topic that we have, you know, coming up, but yeah. So, diet. So diet is huge. Diet is foundation.
Good deal. Thanks for sharing about the supplements, because I think a lot of people, you know, when I look at it, I think there's the core supplements based on what you're doing at any given time or what you need to optimize. But all of people come into me with two bags full of supplements that they take a day. And that's horrific. And one of the big things that I try to explain to folks is like, you can't supplement your way out of poor nutrition. But with good nutrition, you can, you know, put something alongside of it, because I'm not anti-supplement. I'm just like, don't bring in two bags of supplements and that's what you're taking, because that you don't like, you can bring them into me. I'm going to take you off all of most of them. But, you know, the idea is we need to kind of figure out what we're actually working with here and what we're doing. So would you share, folks, like what supplements do you use on a regular basis to help supplement your diet?
So I do quercetin. Just because of all the funny little viruses running around these days, just really helps keep your immune system up and nice. Everything I do is one, I know I have genetic components to, I'm lower in D, I'm lower in B vitamins. And so I take my D and my B vitamins. What else? I had a partial hysterectomy, so I do take some, you know, progesterone and estrogen. Vitamin C, always antioxidant. Everything, like I said, I try to do is for inflammation, lowering inflammation, right? Curcumin. What else am I taking right now? Because it shifts off and on too, depending on like what I might be going through or with. And I, you know, I'm still trying to clean up a little long haulers from having the Rona back in February. And so I've had a little brain inflammation. So, magnesium, always take magnesium. Like I said, I have a history of constipation and anxiety. And like so many Americans are so deficient on magnesium. A good fish oil, high quality, you know, that's been tested for purity, because that's one you absolutely cannot buy cheaply from Walmart and expect it to be okay. It's going to be inflammatory. That's actually going to cause more harm than good. So really do your research if you're going to take that, and brain stuff. So some herbs and mushrooms to kind of help with the brain inflammation from the long haulers right now, but nice. Just kind of some of the basics, you know, D's, B's, C. I make my own calcium with eggshells. So
Cool. Tell us about that. Tell us about that. I don't think I've ever talked to anyone about that on the podcast. Tell us how you do it.
Yeah. So it's stupid easy. So, you know, I make sure I get my eggs from a really awesome farm that are feeding their chickens great. And so once I use the eggs, I wash the eggshells, dry them out. And then I have a coffee grinder. So I'll put them in the grinder. And then every day when I make my smoothies for breakfast, you know, I put a teaspoon in. And that's how I get my calcium. So very bioavailable form of calcium right there. And I'm not spending more money on a supplement. I'm using what I already have. So I try to that's do, cool. You know, whole food whenever I can, for sure.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah, I've never had anybody talk about it. I've never done it myself. I think it's something that coming up now that it's going to be something that I do incorporate in, because I've been thinking about it, but just never pulled the trigger on it. So I think it
takes time. A little to get used to, because it makes your smoothie kind of, you now have to chew your smoothie, and they actually say there's some benefit to that anyway. The mechanical part of chewing actually will help everything assimilate better. But so it does make your smoothie a little gritty. And even though, you know, I've put it in the grinder, like it's still gritty. And so it took a little bit to get used to, but now I don't even notice it's there. So
hey, yeah. I think it's worth a try, as long as folks are getting, you know, guys, you know, pasture raised and really good quality fed chicken, you know, that we're on point on it. That's the biggest thing. And I like that you were talking about, like, I'm on this right now. And that's what I tell my patients a lot, is like, I cycle through what I'm taking, because there are different things that'll flare up in certain seasons. There's different things that'll flare up based on whatever, you know, COVID long haulers or whatever, you know, is in your world. Or for me, sometimes it's just seasonal, you know, if it is actually cold and flu season, or compared to like the summer, what are some of the things I deal with in the summer? So no, it's a great thing to talk about that. Now, one thing I think folks might be wanting to know a little bit from you about diet is back to the veggies and that component. Do you find that for folks that have Lyme, it's better to do cooked veggies, you know, or blanched, or like, give us a breakdown on like, what's the best kind of veggie, blended? What works?
That's a good question. And so there's a lot of folks, and they're seeing a huge correlation with like histamines, oxalates, right? And having those issues when you have Lyme disease, or any kind of chronic health issue. And so, cooked, absolutely cooked. And like this raw juicing shit, like, oh my gosh, stay away, stay away, stay away. I actually just did a podcast with a girl who specializes in oxalates. And after years and years and years of doing those like spinach kale smoothies, right? And then she actually had a genetic component and celiac disease, to where she wasn't able to detoxify the oxalates. Well, now she realized that she has a problem with oxalates. She cut them out. Now her body's dumping them every night, like at 2 o'clock in the morning. And she has something that looks like a shark tooth that came out of the back of her neck. Like, this is like sci-fi looking crap. Like, you should have seen these pictures of these oxalates, these painful, painful oxalate deposits coming through her skin. Oh, anywho. I'm a big fan of kind of unadulterated, eat what God gave you type of thing, right? And if we were meant to have that much oxalates, that much sugar, that much, you know, kind of what juice offers in high doses, then I feel like that's how it would have come to us, right? But when we take these things and then we juice them and we get rid of the fiber that helps slow down that sugar, you know, hitting our blood sugar, or, you know, like I said, the amount of oxalates, I think she said that when you eat spinach, it's something like 50 grams or something of oxalates. I'm just kind of guessing in the numbers here just to show you, but she's like, when you drink the juice with the spinach, you're getting like 1,000 times higher than that. Like, it's just an obscene amount of stuff that our bodies really, really weren't meant to take that much at one time. So yeah, the way I learned this from actually Dr. Tom O'Brien, and I really love it, because I do a lot of gut testing and I see what the different gut bugs in your gut actually eat and like, and they like a variety, right? So some folks really do well on carnivore, but I'm not a big fan of like a lot, you know, anything that's really restrictive long-term. But I think they're great therapeutic. So, you know, Dr. Tom O'Brien, he's like, I have a starchy vegetable, like a root vegetable, a green vegetable, and a protein. And that's what my plate is made up of every day. And I rotate, you know, so like root vegetable, day one is beets, you know, next day it's potatoes, then it's parsnips, then it's turnips, then it's rutabagas, right? And then the green vegetable is, you know, Swiss chard or broccoli or spinach or asparagus or, you know, but, and so rotate. And that's the other thing I try to teach my folks too, is so when we're healing your gut, to rotate your diet every 4 days. So that way you're not developing a new food sensitivity while your gut is still leaky. And it's just something I try to do all the time now, is because I was getting into a really bad habit of kind of eating the same thing every day. And that messes up your gut bacteria as well, because even if you don't have a leaky gut, because like I said, they actually like a variety. And so if you're eating the same kind of things every day, there could be some good bacteria that you're missing on feeding, you know, because you're eating the same thing all the time. So it's like having a garden, you know, and you gotta feed them all different things that they need for them up to grow. Otherwise, if you eat the crap, then you're just feeding the weeds and then the weeds grow. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that is so true. And yeah, the rotation thing. Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of that as well. Unfortunately, sometimes when we first get someone going, I have to do repetitive. I think you probably found that too, just till they get in the groove, then they're like comfortable to rotate. But it's so huge to make sure that you're rotating. Cause yeah, I will, you know, if I'm gonna be like, well, I'll do a food sensitivity test on you and then I'm gonna repeat it. And then it's gonna be everything else you're eating right now if you keep eating the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
So, oh, it's such a conundrum, but it's definitely fun once you get in the groove of it. So I think I would like to hear a little bit, and I think folks might be interested a little bit in terms of what does your meal planning day look like, or meal planning, like what does it look like in general? Do you pick a day? Do you batch cook? Like how does it work? Give us a breakdown in terms of what your personal meal prepping is like, so folks can get a sense of what you might be getting into if you're going to try to do this yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of batch cooking, but I found out that I actually am one of those people who don't process histamines well because of genetic components. And so batch cooking doesn't work for me unless I put it in the freezer right away, because the longer you have stuff in the refrigerator, it starts producing more and more histamines and I can't break them down. So I try to cook fresh every day. So yeah, it's usually once a week. And I'll sit down, like takes me a half an hour now. So we've got this one like discount grocer type of thing here called Esh's, where it's like you can get some really good quality stuff, like grass-fed, pasture-raised, you know, like name brand meats and some vegetables and some other kind of packaged stuff. But it's like on its way out, you know, or maybe it's just a little past its expiration, but it's still good. And so usually I start there, right? And I get everything that I can. And so I've really been stocking up on meat there. They've had some awesome meat lately. And so then once I get home with that, I look to see what kind of meat I have. Then I go through my cookbooks and I'm like, okay, well, I've got a pork thingy. So what can I do with that? And I will make, I don't do breakfast. We try to do intermittent fasting, and I'll have like a small smoothie around 10 a.m. with just a little bit of fruit, some protein, are my flax, my calcium shells. And then, so I'm just making lunch and dinner. And so I do, I have to. There's been times where I'm like, oh, I don't need the plan for Monday's lunch. It never fails. When I think that, or I think something's coming up, like then I have to grab something fast or something I wouldn't normally eat, or my blood sugar starts to crash because I didn't plan. So now I have to make sure Monday, lunch, dinner, Tuesday, lunch, dinner. So, and I try to keep it the same, because like I said, I try to rotate. So if I'm having pork for lunch, I'm having pork again for dinner, and then I don't have pork again for another 4 days. Right. And then I just, like I said, plug and play with the different vegetables and the root vegetables. So I buy basically the same root vegetables and other vegetables every week, knowing that I'll rotate through them. And then, yeah. So just gotten some favorite recipes, and it takes me, like I said, about a half an hour to an hour to sit down and just kind of look through some recipe books, figure out what I'm going to make my grocery list. And then I usually go to farmer's market and Esh's every week. So that's the bigger time consuming thing. To put it all together doesn't take much time. Just because I've been doing this for so long. I mean, my kid was diagnosed celiac at the age of 2. And so I've been basically cooking all meals and snacks, I mean, for the last 16 years. So it comes pretty quickly to me. I have a couple of paleo Instapot cookbooks. I love my Instapot, and I found a toxin kind of free air fryer. And those two things are my bestest friends in the whole wide world. And I don't know how I survive without them, because they make an amazing meal. So I'll put my root vegetables in my Instapot, and then I'll put my protein in the air fryer. And then I saute up the green veggies, and I can make a beautiful meal in like 20 minutes.
Wow. I think you've just given folks a ton of inspiration in just those 5 minutes of explaining that. So definitely think you need to come up with a cookbook at some point here. So we'll be talking about that. So Heather, thank you so much for chatting about diet and all of the foundations for us folks. Because I think here, this is a great place to start for so many folks as they're on their journey to heal their Lyme. Now, folks, Heather's going to be coming back 2 more times because we've got more to talk about, because Lyme is so comprehensive. We just can't do it all in one visit. So Heather, where can folks find you? What can they consume of your information right now so that they can get started until our next podcast?
Absolutely. So find me on YouTube. I've got so many beautiful, amazing videos up, and my podcast, Talking Shit, got some great guests, a lot of workshops that I've done, stuff online. So Discovering Health FDN on YouTube, or also if you have Lyme, I have a Lyme Facebook page group called Lyme Boss, Unraveling the Secrets of Lyme Disease. So, you know, give me a little tap and say, hey, I want to join. Would love to have you in there. It's a smaller group. We're just getting started out, but I go live in it once a week, you know, to answer all the folks' questions and just be as much of a resource as possible, because sadly there's too much of the treatment information. And I'm standing here on the mountain trying to scream, you got to start with the foundations. So that's what I'm doing.
That's the way to go. And so that is why you're here. And that's why we're going to keep spreading that word for you, so you can keep giving those shout outs for it. So thanks again for coming on today. And folks, you can stay tuned for our next 2 episodes. If you want any more information, head over to drjkrausnd.com for our show notes. Thanks again, Heather. I appreciate it.
Till next time. Have a good one.
Till next time.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.